Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast, back once again. It's Robert Digital, Anders Logic, and Flopsy, the Three Amigos. That's our official name, right, guys?
I feel like, you go by Digi, and I go by Anders Logic, and then Flopsy. It just sounds kind of gay compared to the other ones.
No? Do I need a new nickname?
You need a nickname, or you need an intro?
I've had it for like 12 years, though, so...
I mean, it's one of those things where, like, if you get killed by Flopsy, you're going to feel bad.
That's part of it, though.
Part of the charm, yeah. Right?
It makes me think
of teabagged by Flopsy.
But at the same time, your whole team says, okay, I got killer 321. That's all right.
Weed smoker 420.
Weed smoker 420. And Flopsy, God damn it.
But it fits because I'm usually the guy in the back healing or whatever. You know, I'm not the guy that's ganking you.
It's true.
Yeah. Oh, new member to the group today. We have our Blue Yeti microphone. If we sound a little different, that's why.
It looks like a giant silver and blue cack. There's not an O in that. I put it, it's C-A-A-C-K. Cack. Because it's gorgeous, folks. I just might buy one for my butt. I'm just saying.
It is very phallic. Yeah. Very shiny.
Instead of having three little mics, we have one giant cack.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it makes a difference sound-wise. So let's get right into it. I know what we all want to talk about here is we've been playing a lot of DayZ.
This is what we're advertising. We're, we're going after the big games and trying to find out what people see in them and reporting what maybe, in Rust we jumped in. I thought I was going to hate Rust. Honestly, I thought I was going to hate it.
I did hate Rust for the first 5 hours.
And then now,
and
come
then
on.
Now I really like it.
And we really like it. So this week it was DayZ.
Yep, DayZ.
I'm not going to go first. How about that?
Bobby, you want to hit it up first?
All right, well, first, I got to apologize to Emilio here for Dick Cheney-ing him, but let it sink in. You guys know what I'm talking about? I shot you in the face with a high gun.
Yeah, I forgot about
accidentally,
that.
Finger quotes.
It was in the back of the head, first of all. And I was reloading my gun because we were going to pick on somebody. And so it took us 5 hours to get to the point, guys. It took us 5 hours. I kind of feel like I wasted my Saturday, honestly. It took us 5 hours to get to the point where I was well-equipped enough to go noob hunting, I guess is the most fun thing to do in DayZ. Mm-hmm. So we went out. A noob ran right through our little group. And everybody's like, Bobby, shoot him. Because I don't know why. Everybody was about getting Bobby his first kill. Bobby, shoot him. Bobby, shoot him, Bobby. And I was like reloading my gun. I got shot once. Everything goes blurry and black and white. And I was like, did I get shot? Or is that like shell shot? And then you are dead. He shot me twice, folks. Twice. There's something to be said for twice.
Yeah, well, I had to be sure.
That's true.
But, there was a little confusion. But, coming right out of Rust, I thought it was a really good idea to play this game so we could kind of get a comparison of the two. And one thing I do like better about DayZ is it's easier to tell a difference between the players. Rust, everyone looks exactly the same. Yeah, it gets really confusing during team fights. DayZ, you can get different gear that's different colors, and you kind of recognize who looks like what. Not in that case, which is why I shot you, but it is a little easier to differentiate the enemies from your team.
Let's be honest, though. The graphics on DayZ is gorgeous. Much better.
Well, that's its biggest attribute, absolutely.
I'm going to go out on limb here, maybe, and say that, I'll have Battlefield 4, but as far as, multiplayer, relatively massively, I mean, you could get up to 100 people, online on one server multiplayer game, it's gorgeous. I mean, I was like, wow, this is almost photo. A lot of people don't go for photorealism because it's so hard to achieve. And we did feel that while we were playing it. There's a certain amount, the controls kind of feel like you're playing in Jell-O.
The controls are
terrible.
Do you agree,
Bobby? Did you have the same thing?
Yeah,
the monster rig.
Yeah, I did not care for the controls at all. The graphics looked amazing, yes, but
I'm not saying where the key bindings are. I'm saying as far as just swiping your mouse left to right, there's lag to almost everything you do.
And I turned it out in my graphics settings to see if that would improve, and it didn't.
The other thing about the graphics is the animations are really cool, too. Like, can go prone and then barrel roll, you know, like, do a roll, and it'll show that. Like, it shows where your head is, so if you hold down Alt to move just your head, it actually... While you're running, you can actually see where the other person is looking, because his head moves independent. And I saw, I think, Bobby sit down, and it did the whole animation of him sitting and all. The animations are really
really spot on. And I learned today that it's a combination of two engines. It's the graphics from Arma 3, and it's the physics of Arma 2. But like you were saying, when you're watching your friends do things, it looks like that's how humans would do them. And that's what you, like, almost, it almost took me out of the game when I realized how realistic it was. Cause somebody was telling Bobby, hey, it's at your feet. And Bobby turned around and craned his neck while he was turning like a real human being. And I was like, wow. I was like, that was amazing. Just a simple thing. Something's at your feet behind you. Yeah. Cranes the neck, towards it downwards, and then there it is. And, you know, I was like, wow, that was really impressive.
Yeah, very lifelike. I don't know if it makes up for the gameplay, though. Like, I really didn't care for how the game handled and just how a lot of the glitches that were in it. I understand it's an alpha.
Early alpha.
And there's even a warning.
Yeah,
they put a warning there. And, you know, we saw all sorts of random stuff, like people getting stuck in walls, zombies running through floors, zombies running through walls, just all sorts of random stuff like that.
Dropping items take 15 seconds to show up or something.
Yeah,
like
that's...
If that you fall off really a, like, 2-foot drop, you can break your leg.
And you could go off a 2-floor drop and not break your legs.
Yeah. But I'd have to say the biggest difference I've seen with this compared to Rust is it just seems like different objectives, really. I mean, Rust has crafting and you establish a base. DayZ doesn't really have that. It's more about just getting geared up and then going out and killing people. Like, it's more focused on the player versus player combat.
Especially without the zombie.
Yeah. I think this kind of game encourages you to kind of be a dick to other players, really. Like, that's really where the fun is.
So, our first 2 hours, because we didn't know that servers respawn their items.
The worst.
It was terrible. I mean, it was terrible. Our first 2 hours, we didn't know that servers spawn every 4 hours or every 6 hours. Depends on the server. But, you know, we thought it was like every other game where it's maybe every half an hour. At tops, where new items come down. So, we're picking through towns that had already been picked through. There's no food. Chad died of starvation twice. Bobby died of starvation twice. I died of starvation twice. That took about 2 hours, maybe a little more over two hours.
The first hour, we were going server to server, and it was night permanently, and we couldn't find one.
Yeah.
Because we didn't realize that the time displayed on the server list is actually the time in-game.
Right.
And once we got figured that out. Right. But what, as a side note on that, that really bothered me, too, about this game, the idea that the day-night cycle is linked up to real time.
I like that. Personally.
Oh, I hate that.
What I don't like is that you can overcome it with the gamma.
Oh, well, trick.
That is a problem, I think, that they need to fix. If it's nighttime in this game, you can just go into the settings, turn up your gamma all the way, and see perfectly clear. So your flashlight that they give you at the beginning is completely useless.
And I'm hoping that's just an early alpha sort of thing that they're going to take
And it's
of.
Not that you're getting better at the game. It's like you're learning how to get better at like cheating little tricks about the game. Like server hopping to get all the best loot before anybody else gets it.
Well, let's explain that, the server hopping, because that's another thing I wanted to bring up.
Okay, so like I said earlier, that everything repopulates about every 4 hours, I think it was the average.
Whatever the server says,
but I think 4 hours is the average. And so people specifically look for servers that have just done their repopulate, jump to the servers, run around, grab all the good shit, and then everything's picked clean of anything really important. And so server hopping is a skill. Turning up your gamma ray is a skill. Turning your clouds on high is a skill. Those aren't game skills.
Yeah.
So how is a noob supposed to know about these things? I was a little salty about it. In a way, I kind of feel like I threw my Saturday away today. Yeah. Honestly. Yeah. I mean, I dumped... It got better for sure. Once my nephew came on, the two Knicks, who are kind of dicks.
Yeah. But cool.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're dicks to other players. They're very nice to us.
Yeah.
Very nice to us. And very good at DayZ. But, I mean, they're talking about putting handcuffs on people, making them take off their clothes, and stuffing, was it detergent down their
mouth? Force feeding them detergent so they get poisoned.
They get poisoned and then they die.
But what I'm saying is, like, that's kind of the objective of the game. I mean, is to run around and kill people, and after that gets old, you find new and interesting ways to kill and maim people. That's really kind of the direction that this game pushes you. But the server hopping, I thought was really interesting, because what will happen is when a server repopulates, it will kick everybody off a server. So if you see one that's 0 out of 30 players, you know that one just got refreshed. So you can join that. It's going to be all new loot, you know, ripe for the picking. If you've geared up on a server, you can then go and find a server that has just been repopulated, and go in there fully geared and scavenge all these materials.
And kill all the noobs.
Yeah, and when you jump from server to server, you land in the same spot you were in the last one. You spawn in the exact same spot with the exact same gear, which I think works for them. They don't do that in Rust.
It wouldn't work on Rust.
It wouldn't work on Rust,
because your building wouldn't transfer over. There could be another building.
Yeah, so the stuff that you do in Rust is specific to the server that you're on. If you leave that server and come back, you'll continue from where you left off. If you go to a different server, you'll start all over again. Not that way in DayZ. Which, I don't know, I'm okay with. I think both are valid options.
Hey guys, I don't know how long or how much you would listen to Bobby, honestly. Because let me tell you a little story of what happened. So we, after 5 hours... 5 hours, guys. I'm saying it quickly, but it was 5 hours of play. We're finally established. We all have guns. We're running down the street. My nephew, Nick, he assures me that noob hunting is the way to go. That's the most fun. And you know what? Probably the most fun we've had. I'm not a very, like, KOS player, but, you know, the way it all went down, it was pretty fun. But anyway... So there's five of us, and this new guy, it must have been his first spawn ever. And we hear him on the mic, and we're like, did you guys hear something? And we go, we see this guy, and he's like sheepish at first. And my nephew's like, hey, you need anything? You need any clothes or anything? You need some stuff? We got stuff. He's like, we're not going to kill you. There's five of us with guns. We're not going to kill you. You're naked. And so we're on Skype, and we're on GroupSpeak within the game. So I tell Chad, because Chad is the only one without a gun. He has an axe. He's our zombie killer. And I was like, Chad, dude, here's your spawn. Here's your chance right now. You can sneak up behind him and fucking kill him with your axe. Let's do it. And so we're talking, we're distracting him with clever words and all this, and trying to like distract him long enough that Chad could get close enough to hit him with the axe. Bobby walks right up to his face and blows his fucking face off. I've never seen anything funnier in my whole life. The guy's like, we're like, hey, man, do you need anything? He's like, hey, guys, I found some shoes in the other barn if you guys need shoes. Like, this is his first spawn ever.
He's excited about finding shoes.
Yeah, he's excited about finding shoes that he didn't need. And, it looked like a chest buster in Aliens came out of his chest. Blood went all over Bobby.
Whatever.
He blew me away. This is after he blew me away. We already know he's trigger happy.
Well, I think this game is very interesting with stuff like that. It's almost like social engineering, because we learned a lot from your nephew there about luring people in. We found a guy who was a lot more experienced than that, and he was trying to lure him as well. It didn't go too well. We weren't able to kill him, but basically he was trying to be like, hey, what's up, man? What's going on? Yeah, friendly. What up? We're buddies. Yeah. Oh, what you got there? You got any food? Yeah, let me check that out. And he's like inching closer and closer, and then he's talking to us on Skype saying, all right, you guys ready? You guys ready? Let's do this. So it's almost like social engineering where you're just trying to like play mind games with these people to get them to stand still or come towards you, and then just when their guard is down, bam.
Yeah.
Yeah. And out come the handcuffs.
So, again, the first 2 hours we wasted because of the repopulation we didn't know about. We didn't know that her server hopping was a skill. So we, like, you know, I mean, it was miserable.
I think
guys.
Calling it a skill is a stretch. It's just a thing
that it's you're something you have to learn to do in this game.
You do need to learn to. Yeah, I mean, you need to read when the servers repopulate.
You need to learn that you need to know. You need to know to do it. You don't need to learn how to do it. I mean, anyone can server hop. You just don't know you're supposed to do it. So it's not necessarily a skill.
I mean, you need to know when to tie your shoes, Bobby. It's a skill.
I want to get back to the day night because I completely disagree with you that. I think it is terrible game design. And let me tell you why. Because when we were playing Rust, the day-night cycle is what, like half an hour, something like that?
15, an hour? 15, maybe?
Well, to go minutes? All the way back to daytime again?
Yeah.
So a day
I like
night.
Both. Let me go. Okay. I'm going to say that now. I like them both.
But here's my thing. When we're playing Rust, night comes, you go back to your base, you shut it down. If you want to get sneaky, you go and maybe get one thing. But you stay in the game until daytime occurs. If you're playing DayZ, nighttime happens, you jump off that server and find another daytime server. Or if you're playing nighttime, you're looking for nighttime servers. To me, it sounds like, and this goes back to the other thing, with your character keeping its items and going from server to server, you have no connection to any server. It's just you go around until you find one that works. With Rust and the way the day-night cycle works and how your equipment and everything stays on the server, you're much more attached to the server and you can build more of a community or at least have some consistency of gameplay with Rust, which
I totally
don't
agree with all
at
that.
All.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think one's really better than the other, but yeah, Rust definitely has more of a feeling of community. People use the global chat a lot more. You get to know people who play on the same server and build up a bit of a rapport with them. I mean, that definitely is the case, but I don't think that means that it's better than DayZ. DayZ is just a different option.
I'm just going to... They're both in early alphas.
Yeah.
If you want to buy a game and enjoy a game, I say that Rust is the way to go.
Yeah, for sure.
If you want to see an early development of two games, I'd buy them both. I wouldn't buy DayZ over Rust. I think Rust is much more enjoyable as a game.
Well... Let me say this. If you enjoy griefing and you enjoy PvP and you enjoy that aspect of it, I think you could get a lot more out of it because the sense of accomplishment in DayZ when you finally get weapons and you can go around and you can just kill somebody, if you're a griefer and you're into that, like that game's gotta be a really high griefing value because it takes you 2 hours to get stuff. So being able to kill some, and there's no way to save anything. So it's not like Rust where you can build up your house and you die and, okay, I can build another shotgun.
Have a sleeping bag or whatever.
Exactly. In DayZ, when you die, you lose
everything. Literally everything.
So, from a PvP and a griefing standpoint, I would say DayZ is the way to go. And also the sense of, hopelessness or foreboding.
Bleak.
Yeah, bleakness so bleak. In DayZ... which is really atmospheric, I thought, and I...
No, for sure. It sinks in.
There wasn't that same sense in Rust.
At all.
Rust is more of the... feels like an arcade... more of an arcade as opposed to the simulation that DayZ has.
Well, whatever you do, don't buy 7 Days to Die.
No. Did you pick that up?
No.
Oh.
Are you kidding me? that's for another time. Oh, but, I know in the alpha of DayZ, there's a lot of things that weren't there that were in the original Arma 2 mod, like vehicles and a few other things, I think, that I can't think of right now. But the vehicles was a big thing for me. I mean, they say
there's
coming.
There was helicopters, there were jeeps, there was
ghillie
everything.
Suits.
I think that would really, really change the game, especially because... Dude, seriously, for the first 2 or 3 hours of this game, I felt like I was playing, Jogging Simulator 2014, dude. All I did was run on a road ever. And I think with vehicles, you could get around a lot quicker. You'd have much more interesting battles. It would be... I would also like to see some sort of option to build, a little fort or some sort of base establishment. I think that would be cool. But I don't know. Are there any things that
more
you would
zombies.
Like to see?
I think more zombies would help a ton.
Didn't one of the Knicks say that they took away most of the zombies for this patch because they wanted to work on some mechanics?
No, for sure. And I understand it's super early alpha. Yeah. Not being able to kill yourself so that you could spawn somebody else
was
brutal.
Brutal.
Yeah. I didn't understand your pain. I went maybe 11, 12 minutes without being able to kill myself.
Yeah, there's because you have to get a height to be able to drop
Not
yourself.
Just that. You could go to a three-story building, but if that three-story building doesn't have an outdoors... or like yeah. some sort of roof you can go to, you're fucked.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was by the coast. I ran out and I drowned myself in like 1 foot of water and just went prone and waited to die.
You can do that?
Yeah. I didn't even think that. It took a little while, but yeah. yeah
I
yeah.
asked the two dicknicks and they said... they said that you couldn't do that, but
it was by a dock. I don't know if it was different. It was kind of by that swampy area, so I don't know if that made a difference.
But we did teach the pros one little thing. Right, up in the northern east corner, there's a boat, a crash boat, and it has a ton of good loot on it. And if you stand on it and server hop to all the new servers, you can pick up. There's like 50 spawns in that thing. So if you look, you know where the hot spawns are. You look around, you can get some really good shit in a short amount of time.
Yeah, just watch out for those ledges, though. They kind of sneak up on you a little bit.
There's well, a logic pro tip.
The jelly controls mean, like, if yeah. you get close to a ledge, falling off of it.
Yeah. I'm glad we didn't get into a true firefight, because with those jelly controls, I know that if I would have lost, I would have been pissed, honestly. Yeah. Because I don't know. God, it feels bad, right? Jelly controls, right?
Yeah, right
you
now.
Feel like you're under... No, but that's how original Jay-Z was. Maybe that's how Arma yeah. feels.
Well, you know what? The motion... I tried to turn off the motion blur to hopefully reduce that a little bit. But I'm telling you, like, all the settings I changed did not help. Also, that and the mouse acceleration, I could not turn off. And I hate mouse acceleration. I just... Like, me personally, the way I use a mouse... it does not work well with it, so I always turn mouse acceleration off.
You gotta give up that claw grip, man. That's weird.
Nah, it works really well, actually.
Chad, what are you? Claw or...
No, I'm grab? Flat.
Yeah, flat, yeah.
Flat. The palm. Yeah, see, the claw works way
better. Us fat guys have to rest our fat arms on the mouse.
What kind of mice do you guys use? Because I got the Logitech... I got a nice Logitech one that I really like.
Did it come with weights? In it?
No.
Okay.
I've got a, I think a Razer Naga.
Oh, yeah.
Which I is the,
Oh, no. You have the Hex. You have
the MOBA.
You have the Hex.
Mm-hmm. Is that what I have? The Hex?
Yeah. I've got I have MOBA the Naga. One. Yeah, the Hex is cool. I almost bought that one because I've always had Razer mice. The last one I had was a Naga, which is with the 12 buttons on the side. Mm-hmm.
Real quick, let's wrap up Daisy before we move on to other things.
Oh, there was one other comment I just want to make about this genre in general. It seems like you can't play the game unless you have a browser open at the same time. That's true for
the map,
DayZ map. That's yeah. true for Rust map. It's true, you know, like even Minecraft to be able to. Do
you
the
feel
crafting.
Like you're cheating?
A little bit.
In DayZ, more I felt like I was cheating.
It like I think a game like this taken to the next level with like a procedurally generated map would really take. This style of game to a different level.
I think if you played it enough, you would actually, like, if you played it a lot, like some people do, if this is the only game they play, they would probably memorize landmarks and be able to navigate themselves without a
Well, map. You were talking about how DayZ, like, you could get a compass. I got a compass at one point, which worked to face true north, and you were talking about that you could navigate with the stars at nighttime.
How cool does that sound? But, yeah. you know, it's taxing, honestly.
Yeah.
And I get the realism. You know. I know you're going for realism, but I felt DayZ is harder than real life. You don't need to eat that often.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you get in the map, you're already thirsty. Like, that's how I felt.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Well, I mean, with realism, everybody has a certain extent they're willing to put up with. I mean, let's face it. If we wanted absolute realism,
we'd go to war.
It'd be really bad. You know, it yeah. would just take...
Nobody wants a gut shot and stay in the field for 2 hours dying. No, nobody yeah. wants that. It's shitty.
Yeah, but. So I think there's, you know, everyone has a different level of what they can put up with. And DayZ, you definitely need a higher level of that. And, you know, some people enjoy that. Some people really look for that. Me, not so much. I mean, I play video games to get away from real life, I think. So I don't want to be reminded of real life when I play right. a game.
But it is kind of a technical achievement to have these games be this realistic. You know, like, we're really taking the next steps on... You
it's
know,
all coming together, man.
The hot, the cold, the, you know, poison, leg broken, bleeding, hungry, thirsty.
Dysentery,
puking.
Yeah.
Like, it covers, DayZ especially.
You can't
covers
drink
the,
too much water because you're going to throw up.
Yeah.
And you're going to lose some of your food when you do that.
Yeah.
Totally realistic. Yeah. The realism on this game is maybe even too much. But I can see the appeal.
Yeah, for sure.
But as far as, like, minute for minute fun... And overall fun, I'm a big fan of Rust. I'm having a great time with it. And for $20, $10 cheaper, and you get the full game, even all the way up until release. If I had $20 or $30 to my name, I would go with Rust. 10 times out of 10, I think.
For sure.
Yeah, I think I would recommend Rust over this, especially at $20. They recently had a patch to Rust, too. I'm not sure what they addressed in it. But,
ooh, let's look it up.
I'm kidding.
The thing I think of is picturing these games past the alpha and beta into final. Could I see myself having fun with that? And I think the basic premise of DayZ, where it's getting items and going out and killing each other, just doesn't appeal to me as much as the crafting, building your house, protecting it instead of going out and hunting. I like that aspect better. So I agree, like Rust,
yeah, I'd say I'm
for
in
myself.
That camp too. And I'm really tired. Like, I have stopped like giving games credit for being an alpha. Be like, well, it's an alpha. Like, that's not an excuse for me anymore. I don't know.
Although I'm huge on immersion, and I felt that the immersion in DayZ is much deeper.
Oh yeah.
Like, I felt the ominousness. Is that a word?
Yeah.
No.
I felt the hunger too, but maybe that's because we didn't eat much today.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. And it's funny that the chubbier of us were always hungrier more than skinny guys. I don't know if they could feel it on the weight on our keyboards or how that was registered, but.
All right. So, yeah, a lot about DayZ. I'll probably continue to play it some if other people are playing it, but I would much rather play Rust.
Honestly, I'm going to... Yes, I'd rather much play Rust, and I'm going to wait for probably 2 patches on DayZ and make it a little more playable.
Honestly, yeah. I don't see myself playing DayZ again unless I have a group like you guys want to play, then I'll jump. But
for sure.
That game, I can't see any reason why I'd want to play that game alone.
It's almost like you have to be good at the game, and you have to be good... of the game within the game.
Yeah.
And we didn't know any of these things walking in, and now we know, so.
Well, I guess we'll transition into something else here. Exciting news for me. A couple days ago, I got an email from Steam, and I'm now in the Steam in-home streaming. Which, I know, gasp.
Yeah, explain that to
so me. So exclusive. Yeah, let me explain it, because some other people were confused when I was telling them about it. They thought it was something else. It is where you can stream your games to other computers. So I have my main rig, which is a beast. You know, it's got really good hardware in it that I can run pretty much any game with maximum settings. So I can log into Steam on my MacBook Pro here like I did, and I can stream games from my other computer. So basically my main rig is doing all the work, but it's showing on my laptop, and I can control it on my laptop.
Gotcha. So it's kind of like an on live, but you're actually hosting the game instead of them hosting the game.
Exactly. Now, gotcha. A couple caveats to this. It is limited to 720p, 16-bit audio. There's some limitations when it comes to operating systems as well. I was hosting the game on a Windows computer, and playing it on a Macintosh. So I could play games on my Mac that I wouldn't be able to if the game, like, that couldn't install to a Mac, like Assassin's Creed 4. I tested out 3 games. Assassin's Creed 4, which had really good graphics, and on Wi-Fi and on the LAN with a network cable, like, it would not stop stuttering. It was pretty bad.
Yeah, I'm sure it's pretty bad right
Yeah,
now.
But that's a really intense game. Also, while you're streaming, it shows it on the screen that of the computer that you're playing it on, and it shows it on the computer that's hosting it.
Oh.
Video and audio. And you cannot alt-tab out of it when on the computer that's hosting it. So it's not like I could turn the game on, then go to my main computer, alt-tab out.
Does that mean that the video card's doing double work or something close to it?
The video card was doing... I monitored, like, Task Manager and... whatever the one is in Mac, Activity Monitor or whatever it is. And it didn't seem to put that much more of a strain on the host computer, on my Windows one. On my Mac, it was heating up pretty bad. But still, I was running like Assassin's Creed at really high settings. I also tried it out with BioShock Infinite. That ran really smooth. Looked great, handled well, not a lot of lag spikes. And then just out of curiosity, I tried it with Rogue Legacy. I figured, let me try a game that's not graphically intense at all. Yeah. And it was really interesting because I loaded it up and it ran fine. It ran really good, even over the Wi-Fi, just like no problem at all. So I think like the lower the graphics settings, the easier it is to stream. But then I moved my mouse on my host computer. I just wiggled it around, and boom, it spiked up like crazy. So any sort of like interaction on the host computer seems to cause it to lag.
I think this is the very few baby steps towards. I brought this up before, and maybe our first podcast was saying it. Why eventually all the processing is going to be done server side? I don't think we're even going to have computers. We're just going to have screens and keyboards.
Just giant server farms that do all the processing.
That do all the processing, and just huge pipes of information coming down. And why would we ever buy any of like that? We just pay a service fee, and we have, you know, they do best graphics possible. You know, all the time. And then when patches come through, that means everybody gets the same patch. Everybody talks about it. Guess, you know, I think that's the way we're headed. Yeah. This is just the very first baby steps.
I mean, NVIDIA showed off something like that at CES called Grid, which is exactly what you're talking about. They have a server in San Jose where they are hosting out games. And it's an interesting idea because then you could buy a game.
That's basically on live or whatever.
What's on live? You mentioned it twice now.
On live has servers where they host games and they stream the game.
What is it though? Is it their own individual?
It's a service.
What kind of games?
Any and all.
What can you
Gamefly
play
does that, I think, too. Or something else.
Gamefly, I think, sends you.
No.
Oh, they also might stream. Yeah. Yeah. So basically, it's doing all the processing on their server, just like his host was, and sending the stream there. So you play on whatever. And as long as you have controls, it works. I haven't played it myself.
I'm sure there's some lag.
Although, you know, PlayStation is doing their PlayStation Now announcement, so I have played a little bit around with that, and it seems cool. Like, there's a potential of, like, you can stream it straight to your TV and not even have
it. That's exactly what we're talking about. I think that's the way things are headed.
Yeah, that would be nice. I mean, it's good for a few reasons, the one that Steam has. You can, first of all, play Windows games on a Mac computer, and you can also play really graphically intense games on computers that have,
shitty processor or whatever.
Crappy
shitty
processor or a video card. Right. So, you know, like a home theater PC or a laptop.
It's almost like it's showing a video. That's how much processing is needed. Because all you're doing is showing video, and the host computer is probably processing your controls, most likely.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how the technical side is working. But
I'm not sure on the technical specifics. But, I mean, it's cool. I don't see myself using this a whole lot just because of the way, I mean, you know, I live in a pretty small place, so it's not, and I already have an HDMI running to my big screen, so it's not something that I would find very useful, maybe in the past in different living situations. But, you know, it's cool. I want to see what this turns into, because what if you could do this outside of a local area network? What if you could do this, over network, the internet? That would be
awesome. I think that's coming before what I was talking about. I mean, I'm talking maybe 20 years out, but yeah.
Yeah, it's something that will continue to grow, and as long as we have the network bandwidth for it, like, that can that's capable of handling that, then it's definitely a possibility.
Cool. So I want to bring up something that's very concurrent with our podcast. Pre-purchases, right? Have you guys heard the pre-purchase thing that Steam said?
Mm-mm.
Bobby?
No.
Guess that this is awesome. This is why Valve is one of my favorite companies in the world. Valve says now you can cancel your pre-purchase at any point during the development of the game and get your money back. All of your money back. So, you know, the development's not going hot. You know, or maybe you need the money. Shit, that could come up too. And maybe I should spend this money on this game or whatever it is. And you could just pull that money back. But this also brings up another question for me, is that I thought it went straight to the developers after Steam got their cut. But apparently Steam holds it all the way until the game comes out. Because how could they offer this without that? Right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting. But besides that, I think this new move is awesome. I love it.
You know what? I don't mean to take the wind out of the sails of that, but this might be a response to what Origin did maybe about a month or two ago. Their policy, I read an article about online retailers that sell games and what their policy is as far as returns. And Origin actually had a really good one. Same thing, you could cancel your pre-purchase. You could return the game, like, I think, I can't remember the specifics, but maybe like a week after buying it. Or if you had not installed it or activated it, you could return it. But yeah, they actually had a really good return policy. And the article was trying to make a point that Valve really didn't have any of these options.
It's funny, there's a term for what he just said. It's called one-upping. Mm-hmm. And it's considered rude.
Basically. That is rude.
Yeah.
That is cool, though. I mean, that probably isn't too relevant to a lot of people, though, who don't pre-purchase. But
and if you listen to this podcast, you do not, I repeat, do not pre-purchase. Chad?
Except when you do.
Except for when you do.
Although,
I mean, if you feel like it, you should.
Yeah.
But I mean, don't.
And hey, with this new option to return it, yeah, you know, maybe. Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, now. Wow, that has a whole new element. Now, are people going to pre-purchase more, knowing that they can pull their money at the last minute?
Why are people pre-purchasing in the first place? Are you getting
Get a discount. Usually get a discount and or, a, you know, some additional content.
You get a TF2 hat.
Or a card?
I
isn't that
TF2
what you
hats.
Isn't that what you go with cards?
Card. Well, no, you don't get cards for that.
My Kingdom for a pyro fire truck hat. I want it so bad, but I haven't been able to get it.
Dude, some of those items go for money.
Yeah, they do.
Like, I've seen, like, $50, $100, $200 items on there.
We're going to have to rename this podcast to the Steam podcast. It was basically all we've ever talked about.
It's hard to talk about PC gaming without talking about Steam.
That's true.
Who wants to go to a store to get a game?
That's what it is.
I don't know.
I love that GameStop sells Steam gift cards.
I'm seeing those in more places now, too, which is great. I tell everyone to get that for me for, like, birthdays.
Have you got one?
Yeah, I've gotten some. Yeah, I try to make people aware that, like, look, I spent so much money on Steam, like, you might as well just give me that.
The way my family works, if I asked them for Steam gift cards, I would end up with...
Water and cold?
Water, yeah, water with some hot... Yeah, coming out of it. Yeah, it'd be bad.
Yeah, I had a... I just got that. I had a really weird Christmas like a year ago where I got like around $200 in gift cards for Outback Steakhouse. And I traded them into a company online where you can trade in gift cards.
Yeah.
And I traded it in for Amazon credit, and that's how I bought my headset.
Boom.
Yeah.
Ninja. Nice. Christmas Ninja.
Wow. I didn't know there was websites where you could trade.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they take a cut, but it's worth it, man. I'm not eating all that Bloomin' Onions at a steakhouse, man. That's...
Real quick, I have a hardware review. I got the Logitech G930 headset recently.
Thank you.
What I really like about it is that it takes up one USB slot instead of two, which most do. You put it into one, and then the cord itself has a hole that you can put it in, into the charger cable, and you can, charge. I mean, the transmitter is in the charge cord, and you could hear it from there.
Yeah. So I have the same headset, and instead of using that USB cord to charge my headset, I actually hook it up to my mouse. To keep my mouse charged.
You can put whatever you want in there, right?
Yeah,
it's pretty sick.
Totally. Yeah, I like when you repeat stuff on the podcast, just in case people weren't listening.
I think I did it on the redo. That's why I brought it up again.
Oh, okay.
I think that was on the drunken one.
All right.
The secret one that you'll never hear unless you're a true fan and you listen to both.
That's exclusive content only for pre-purchases. You get the B-sides when you pre-purchase this podcast. You get all our mic checks when you get that. You get Amelia's face on a T-shirt.
Why would he want that?
Yeah. So I try to play like a new game every week if I can. And I finally, I know I've been talking about it, but I finally beat Deadpool. And I know who's still talking about this game, right? But it's kind of like a AAA title, but they go the comedic route with it, which is a bold move. You know, you don't see a lot of games doing that. I actually had fun with this game. About 6 hours total playing time.
6 hours?
Yeah, pretty short. They do have a challenge mode, which you can continue to do stuff in. Combat felt a lot like the Batman games, where you have a group of people you got to take out, and you have to punch, counter, and break defenses. You also have ranged weapons like guns and stuff. There's a lot of progression where you can upgrade.
Was it as good as, and fluid as the Batman games, though? Because, you know, those group battles were really awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It seemed a little off-balanced when guys with guns came in. I had a few difficulties with that. But overall, the game was just a little on the easy side. But I was okay with that.
How was the voice acting? Because I think that's a make or break for Deadpool since he's such a talker.
Mm-hmm. Well, the funny thing about the voice acting was there was two voices in his head. So he had his funny voice, who was like crazy and loopy, and then his serious voice. It was pretty good. I mean, it had a lot of like one-liners, which usually fall flat. And, you know, that's kind of like the downfall of a lot of like games that really go for comedy. But there were a lot of things that I did think were funny. Like they make fun of a lot of like video game tropes, you know, they make fun of side scrollers and bullet time effects. I liked that part. And the game was just so random that it really didn't feel that slow. Like, have you ever been playing a game and you don't want to like cheat or anything, but you go to like game facts just to see where you are in the game?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I do that all the time.
I've never been there.
It's kind of like when you're reading a book or something and you're just seeing how far it is like to the end of the book.
Or like if you're at a movie and you check your watch, like how long is it? You know, things like that. I didn't do that with this game, but I do that in almost every game I play just to kind of see where I'm at and how close to the end I am. But
would you recommend it for other people?
I would. I got it on
sale. Should we play it?
If you catch it on sale for $10, I'd pick it up.
Is that what you pick it up for?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, because it's a $30 game, right?
It was $40 when it came out. It might be a little less now.
I see.
Yeah, it's actually, the developers are actually local here, too. They're up in Carlsbad. It was High Moon.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty cool. But, yeah, I mean, it was, I'd say it's an enjoyable experience. If you catch it on sale, worth picking it up and playing.
I feel like all these little games like that, where, like, they're, you wouldn't pay full price for them, but the sale's so good. 75% off.
Yeah.
How could you not pick it up? But they're piling up now. Like, I have several games that I haven't even touched because I bought them at 75% off. And I know they're pretty good because, you know, I always check at the Metacritic. And I generally go with, like, popular opinion. I picked up, was it Guacamelee, which you already finished.
Yeah.
Fucking love it. Love it. Probably more, a little bit more than halfway through the game. Great art design. I'm not one for platformers.
How much was it, by the way?
I picked it up for super cheap.
I mean, I think originally it's like $14.99, but you'll catch it on sale all the time.
Under
like
$5,
half price, like $5.
I think $5 or less is what I paid for it. And it's all about like Mexican luchadors and stuff. But it's in a fantasy realm where, like, it's Dia de los Muertos. Did you guys pick that up? The accent that I put on that? Dia de los Muertos.
It rolls off the
tongue. and the art design, the music, the...
You said it was bright and colorful, too.
It's colorful. Like, everything meshes. It just meshes well. Like, even if you're losing, you're having a good time because it just... It's a feast for the senses. I know that's, it sounds like grandiose, but it looks awesome, sounds awesome, and is fun. I mean, what more do you want out of a game, you know? It's frustrating, though. It can be a little Super Meat Boy. It can be a little Super Meat Boy.
But they let you respawn very quickly, so you can try that same puzzle again, but it doesn't make the puzzle any easier. Yeah. It's still a challenge that you have to work at overcome. So I was okay with the difficulty at parts. But really, the big point is just the style of this game. It really comes together to support the game. It's so bright and fun. And
by the way, the most authentically Mexican game out of Canada I have ever seen.
Well, they make a lot of them, so this is the top of the top.
Yeah.
Speaking of like games that you have kind of backed up that you've gotten cheap, the one game that I haven't played, well, I played about less than half an hour's worth of it, was Bastion. I own Bastion. I have it sitting there. I keep meaning to play it. I just don't.
You know what? It's not one of these games where I'd be like, man, that was a great fucking game. And I get to it because it's so much fun. No. It's basically Zelda, I guess, with the narration, which was very cool. Like, he narrates everything that you do as you're playing it.
Yeah.
But when that song comes in at the perfect time, I'm not kidding. I got to that point in the game, And I listened to that song.
How far into the game is that?
About halfway, okay. Which is weird. And I listened to that song all the way to work and all the way home from work that day. Because that song, and it got VGA Song from a Video Game of the Year.
That's so, a little transition.
Yeah, that was nominated. Yeah, yeah. I mean, speaking of music.
Yes, Bobby? Seamless. Tell us more.
Seamless segue. Seamless. You couldn't see the seam in the stitch. Oh, never mind. yeah, so there's a post on our website about music and video games. I didn't try to talk your ear off with a bunch of writing on it. I just kind of listed a bunch of songs that I really enjoyed in music. And
I'm a musician, if you didn't know.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a musician. But a lot of songs that I really enjoyed in games. But the thing I want to point out about this, it's not like... I mean, some of these songs you'll listen to and you'll be like, yeah, that's pretty catchy. I like that. But some of these you'll listen to and you're like, I don't get it. And you really have to play the game to understand these. I didn't pick these just because they're great songs. I picked these because they supported the game really well. Like, they fit the game, or they really set the tone, or they supported the game in some sort of way. But got a lot of great tracks on there. Let's see. There's one from Deadpool that I just, like...
Really?
It's been on repeat, man. Like,
wow.
The one that I've just been listening to a lot lately.
I can't believe you didn't put the GLaDOS song on, though.
That was in the maybe
file. I'm going to respond to your,
thing
and put that.
That one will probably go on there. Because, yeah, that one was good. And, like, that really helped the humor of the game.
It just wrapped that whole game up in, like, a nice little
flow.
That was
a big payoff.
Yeah.
Yeah. A great ending, and you don't see a lot of good endings these days.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a good one. I do have the Bastion song on there. I got the song from Max Payne 3 on the final mission. Like, that one was just so... It felt cathartic, and so did the
end. I don't remember. Was it Brazilian? Was it Brazilian song?
No, it's kind of like a down-tempo song.
Oh, I see.
It's called Health. Yeah, you got to check out the list. I got links to every song that goes straight to YouTube to play it. I'll just list a few here. I think my love for the 80s kind of shows through here, because I got Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon. I've got Hotline Miami. Awesome Knots theme song sounds like an 80s cartoon show, like G.I. Joe. Something from, of course, Guacamelee, Metro Last Light.
But on Guacamelee, did you isolate a single song? Because I think I love them all.
Yeah,
although I love Being Inside Town. I think that might be my favorite one.
The one I went with was Temple of Rain. But you're right. Like, some of these, they just have a great soundtrack.
Yeah.
So, like, you should check out the entire soundtrack. One that I really want to plug is Gone Home from Dust. I mean, that's probably my favorite of all time. Really simple song, but so good. But, yeah, love that one.
What a gorgeous game visually as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? I never even got that deep into it because...
That was the one that you were having controller issues, right? You were trying to hook your controller
up.
Yeah,
that was the one. Yeah. I figured it out, though.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's gorgeous. It looks like a Japanese anime while you're playing it. It's fucking gorgeous.
Yeah, the animation is good.
Apparently the music's pretty good, too.
Yeah, Hyperduck Studio did the soundtrack. They actually have a YouTube video that has the chords for this song. And I think someone kind of made some sheet music for it, but really good shit. And one more that I have to plug, this is kind of a random one, but Razormind from Payday 2. And this is a good example. Like, you listen to the song, you're like, this song is okay. But, like, I listen to the song, and I'm like, dude, this song is the perfect song for robbing a bank. Like, this is what I love playing on my iPod.
If I had a nickel for every time I've thought that.
I don't think I put that on my iPod.
It is the best bank robbing music I've ever heard, dude. Like, you hear it, and you're just like, yeah, dude, just grab the loot and run, man. Like, it's just, it has that feel to it.
That's cool.
A sense of urgency.
How cool is that?
Yeah. So, like, I think music is so important in games that, and if there's any more that you guys want to add to the list, any recommendations, let me know. I'd like to keep this list going and growing.
I would put the GLaDOS song. I that would maybe be my number one, as far as when I look back on gaming. I mean...
Now, are we talking Portal 1 or Portal 2?
Portal 1, of course.
Yeah.
Okay. Portal 2 was a cheap ripoff. Basically. It was a poor execution of trying to get back. And you know what? How could they top the first one?
Yeah.
So they did a valiant effort, but I don't fault them for it.
Well, it's kind of hard. I mean, Portal 1 came out of nowhere. No one was expecting that to be the gem that it is.
That was the $9.99 game that came along free with the Orange box or whatever, you know?
God, talk about humor. I mean, that game, because you were playing it, and you're like, all right, I get where this game is going. And then I remember kind of playing through it a little bit, and I'm like, I think they're kind of fucking with me.
Yeah.
Like, I think this game is, like, trying to be funny. And then, like, they kind of played on that more and more, and it built up.
Maybe my favorite one out of the second one was, like, if you complete this quest, I'll have your parents here. And then you complete the quest, and she's like, your parents aren't here, but it is my birthday. like a tiny bit of fucking confetti comes out of the tube. And you're just like, what the fuck?
God, what a great game.
Yeah, it's so good.
Those games are awesome, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Real quick, I wanted to bring up ESO. You know, it's one of the bigger games coming out next year. And the reason I'm bringing this up specifically is that the voice acting really stood out as one of the thorns in my side about the game.
I hate voice acting in MMOs. I hate it.
In general, they're bad,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
terrible. But there's so much voice right now. You know, these MMOs that are trying to go voice, it's so much voice, right? It's so much voice that it's hard for it all to be good, right?
And it's so expensive and so time-consuming. Yep. And once that voice is locked down, you can't make changes to it. It's like, it's just not a good idea. Like, we need to go way further in the future before we start doing this stuff.
And I'm not bringing this up because I think it's super cool that they're bringing in heavy talent now. I think it's cool that maybe those surveys that I filled out after I played the game are having some impact. I think maybe a lot of people said that the voice acting was the problem. Because you get pretty far in the game without... And you have to deal with a lot of voice actors. And I think overwhelmingly everybody said that it was really bad. So they went out and they got Kate Beckinsale. They got John Cleese. They got Bill Nye and a bunch of like other like named people.
So instead of dropping them, they're getting better actors to do it.
Exactly. And they're probably going to recast. All that stuff was paid for that we already played.
Yeah.
They're probably going to recast it now. Because now you could look at this two ways. Like, okay, so let's get these names so that people will come and play our game. Or are they listening to the community? And if it's because they're listening to the community, I'm all for it. I think it's fucking awesome. You know? If that was the overwhelming thing that everybody said that was shitty about the game, I'm all about it.
I think it's funny that they're talking about how much these games cost these days. Millions of dollars. How many people are going to play a game because it's got Kate Beckinsale as the voice actor? They're not getting a single cent more because they're doing it. Why are they doing it? Is there a level of production?
It might be the difference between a 85 Metascore and an 86 Metascore, which is probably thousands of dollars.
Well, I don't know.
Really?
I think getting these big names to do voice acting is, to me, that does not say anything. Like, big deal. They got John Cleese, Kate Beckinsale. I think there's actually a lot more voice actors.
Don't forget Bill Nye, the science guy.
Okay, Bill Nye, sure. But there's very talented voice actors out there that can do voices much better. I mean, let's take Jack Black, for example. He's got a great voice. But as soon as he comes on the mic, you know, oh, that's Jack Black.
Right.
You know, it's not like he's doing different voices. When you talk about real voice actors, like, they're doing it all, man. They're doing, like different voices.
Nolan North.
Nolan North. There's...
And you really listen to Peter?
No.
Not
that I know of.
I enjoy his work.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
But there's a good documentary called I Know That Voice, all about voice actors. It's a really good look about what they do. They got a whole section on video games that's really good. And the thing I took away from it, the video game section, is that it is a lot of work. Like, they'll say, okay, give us a grunt. Give us a longer grunt. Give us a 5-second grunt. Okay, now you just got punched in the face.
Should I do this?
Now you got kicked in the shin. You know, like, they have to go through all this stuff to make voices or to make sounds for, like, all these different things happening. Every sort of variance that can happen in a game, they have to have a vocal
reaction. I feel the same way about, like, these big CGI movies that come out, Toy Stories and whatnot. They're good actors. They're great actors. They bring in the biggest names because they know they're going to get sales. Are they particularly good voice actors? No, not generally. The very good voice actors...
Some are.
Don't. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I mean, Toy Story was perfectly casted, I think.
To infinity and beyond, or whatever, yeah.
I thought they were, yeah.
No. I mean, you're professional voice actors. You're people who say, like, I'm a voice actor for a living. Like, it's very different. I was at the movies today, and I was watching one of those commercials they had at the beginning of the movies, and it was one with the red M&M. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I'm like, holy shit, dude, that's Billy West, Fry from Futurama. Like, oh, I picked it up right away. Like, you don't realize that these voice actors are in everything. They're the people in the commercials. Right, yeah. They have this amazing ability to, like, change their voice to be different characters.
Yeah.
It's like that guy that sells all the movies. That everybody knows that guy's voice. In a world.
Yeah.
Where there was one man.
Well, you like Nolan North is the most famous voice actor that I know that does video games, and you look at his IMDb.
Related to Peter?
No. Oh. You look at IMDb, and he's got like over 1,000 acting credits on him, and you don't even realize, but he's got like all sorts of, runs the full gamut of things up for him.
Yeah.
Who's the other guy you keep bringing up? He did the Booker DeWitt. And he did, like, a bunch of other ones.
What is it? He did The Last of Us. He did Booker DeWitt.
He's on fire right now.
Yeah, he was the Joker in the newest Batman. Yeah, that guy is really hot right now.
Yeah, I forget his name.
I can't remember it either.
If we had a producer, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
But,
we'll have to look into that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so when I hear these big names, like, oh, we're pulling all these big actors in here to do these voices, it's like...
It's for headlines.
Yeah.
I mean, it caught my attention, but it didn't catch my attention because of the names. I just want to know if it's a direct response to poor ratings on the voice acting.
Probably.
I think a lot of people were vocal about that.
And can we be cool? I mean, that's a cool thing, right?
Yeah.
Can we agree that that's a cool thing?
All right. Can we go back and address my pun that I made? I think a lot of people were vocal about their disapproval of voice acting.
Wow.
You know what? It was good. Maybe you can go too deep sometimes, though. That's what my girlfriend says.
All right.
But you don't have a girlfriend.
So, real quick, just going to throw out there. I've said real quick many times today, but it's inevitable that GTA 5 is coming to PC.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
Can't wait. It's not because they've announced it. And this happened also kind of with Fallout 4. Same thing. People are data mining. You know, they're going into the code and finding things. And there's a lot of things in GTA 5 hard code that is basically set up for the PC. And so there's that. And not so much for the, you have no data on Fallout 4, but what they're doing is seeing who Bethesda's hiring. And they hired the guy that does the voice on the radio, I forget his name, but he's really good at his job. He's like the fake radio voice. And a few other key carriers or cast members. And they hired them again. So it's like, what else would they be doing, right?
Yeah.
It's funny that people are looking into these things. I like to get into the buzz of things.
Well, it's like, you know, video games make more money than movies. And movies have all sorts of magazines that people watch and all sorts of stuff like that. So I mean, the level of money is there, so why wouldn't this kind of level of scrutiny?
Isn't it kind of funny that, like, okay, games are making way more money. I think it's way, way more money than TV. Kind of way more money than movies. But the media that covers it, minuscule.
Well, because video game players are the tech-savvy individuals, so we don't need a magazine.
It's true.
I mean,
we're online.
Yeah. You know, like, Game Informer used to be a magazine, or maybe still is, but nobody reads that.
Sure.
We go on.
It's tough. You shouldn't be at a magazine anymore. As soon as I saw the internet, if I had a magazine, I would quit. Like, whoa, my magazine's online, so.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Death of the printed word.
You know? For sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's printed. It's just printed digitally now, right?
Yeah, but that's what they mean.
You still got to read it. Yeah. So, yeah, I've been playing... that's a rough transition. Assassin's Creed 4.
Hey!
Speaking of the printed word.
Assassins! Perfect segue.
Okay.
Bring it home, Bobby.
Who cares about segues? Yeah, so I've been playing a lot of Assassin's Creed 4, and I've been loving that game. At first, when I started it, the controls were really awkward for me, and I had a hard time getting into it.
Have you played the other Assassin's Creed?
No, first experience at all with Assassin's Creed. But I am really getting into this game. Like, if it wasn't for everyone wanting to play, like, Rust and DayZ right now, like, I would be playing Assassin's Creed.
By everyone, you mean us too?
Yeah. I got other people on my friends list.
Okay.
I'm gonna act like I don't. But... Again, this has the same kind of combat as like Batman and Deadpool, where it's just like stringing together attacks and counters and breaking defenses. It feels like Far Cry 3 almost a little bit with the whole sandbox thing where you run around the map getting collectibles like shanties, waypoints, treasures, and like little side missions. It's if I could summarize it in a few words, it's like a faster-paced stealth game, pretty much.
This is the pirate one where you have the ship and all?
Yeah, which I think is interesting, too, because I'm really digging the pirate theme, like, more than I thought I would. And I think that's because there are not a lot of games that do a pirate theme and take it seriously. Like, every pirate game... Yeah, every pirate game you know is kind of like a cartoony, like, comedy kind of thing. Right. And there's not
a bunch of men on a boat. I mean, there's a lot of material there.
Yeah, true.
But there's not a lot of games that really, like, play it straight-faced. And this one does, and it totally works. Like, it's a lot of fun.
I've always heard that, like, pirates and ninjas, like, super cool. Like, pirates are just as cool as ninjas. I don't even think it's even close. I think ninjas are 1,000 times cooler than pirates. Do you guys agree?
What
is cool about a pirate? I don't get it.
This debate was relevant four years ago?
In the Barrens, yeah. No, this is where I'm getting
like
it from.
Like 7 years ago?
I don't care. I'm not resolved.
Well, aren't there robots involved too? Isn't it?
No,
ninjas, pirates, and robots.
While we're digging up these ancient artifacts, would anyone like to like Rickroll me or something? Or let's take it all the way back.
By
to
the way, everybody, I goateed Bobby the other day,
which I didn't know was a thing.
Don't look it up. But wow. I got him. I couldn't believe that was the original Rickroll.
That is way back.
Oh, you know what it is? See, Chad knows what it is.
See, I don't remember that. Maybe that was just something you guys did.
With each other. That was actually Chad, actually.
That was just for fun.
Let's not dwell on that. Wow. Well, yeah, you know, I'm excited about this game, like playing it.
Are you going to go back?
Yeah, are you going to play
this? See, I hate playing games. I like to go back and play, like, the first game and work my way through.
You have more hours of the day than I do. I'm convinced. Because
dude, you're all about PTI. You got to get through your PTI, and you got to get.
I like a well-rounded lifestyle. Like I fit some sports in with my games.
This week specifically, you've gone cable-free because Chad watches a lot of TV. You've gone cable-free for the last 3 days, and you've been gaming specifically.
Yeah.
Do you miss it?
Yeah. Well, I miss PTI. Does that count?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Is it an hour?
Because I don't watch, like, any TV.
Me neither.
I don't watch TV, barely any movies, really.
Bobby's got a full-time job and a girlfriend, I've heard, which I've never seen, but I've heard.
Allegedly.
And he's still... he beat Deadpool, he's playing Assassin's Creed.
I'm getting things done, man.
He still played the Rust and DayZ with
priorities,
us.
Priorities, man.
Priorities, dude.
He doesn't eat, doesn't sleep or something. I don't get it.
Dude, you would be surprised how much time you save when you don't watch TV. Like, I'm telling, I used to watch a lot of TV. Like, I used to keep up on, like, every show out there. But, basically, like, video games is, like, taking over my entire, like, entertainment time.
Do you guys want to guess how much hours I have logged into TF2? Throw something out there. What I show on my Steam account isn't accurate, by the way.
We go 1,600.
150 hours.
150?
I don't know.
No, it's like 1,100 or 1,200. Yeah.
Holy
shit. I've got a guy with 4,000, but I think he leaves it on to get drops or something like that. Yeah.
Well, that's back when you were cheating. And you know what's great about... And here's Valve coming through again. For those who didn't cheat, everybody who cheat got kicked. During that time that you could do that, those that didn't cheat got the cheater's laminate or something like that was called.
Oh,
like
nice.
It was a little halo that showed that you weren't a cheater.
Oh, that's awesome.
And guy, it doesn't float above your head. It's a little stick that holds the halo. It's so fucking awesome.
That's great.
That's like in...
Oh, lament. Cheater's lament. That's
speaking of your hours playing TF2, like that's like in WoW when you looked up your slash played. I think my main had like 180 days played or something like that back in the day.
I like how they keep track of that. Especially on Steam, because it shows you the hours, and like I like to look at that, like because it shows you per 2 weeks, and I like to pretend like if that was my job, how much I would be getting paid. Like, like, oh, I put in 40 hours this week.
Right, no, you know what? I tell people from time to time that I made almost $3,000 paying selling my account on EverQuest. People are like, wow, you know, you really like playing games. You should do that for a living. They have no idea how many hours. If you were to break that down, hour per dollar, it'd be cents, like half a cent per hour. Because at a certain time I checked, and it was over three, it was over an hour, a year. Over a year playing EverQuest, guys.
Yeah.
I'm 35. So do the math. I think I'm 35. Wow. I haven't done the math.
That's 1 year you're never getting back.
Oh, wow. But a good year.
All right, so we have a personal victory for the PC over the consoles. The Oculus Rift inventor, Palmer Luckey. Have you guys even heard this name before?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I haven't heard it before. But anyway, he said...
Sounds like a horse.
Says...
A horse race.
What a great name. Palmer Luckey. All right. Yeah. Well, the first, not so much.
Or it could be Palm Her Luckey.
I put money on that horse. Hey-o!
Hey-o! From downtown. And he says that no to the next-gen consoles. Because he says that this thing's going to be evolving way faster than they can keep up. Personal victory for the PC, huh?
Oh.
Huh?
Does PC need a victory? Isn't it just stomping the consoles left and right?
In abilities, yes. In sales, no. I don't think it's even close.
Oh, consoles outsell?
I think we're third. If you're gonna,
God, I wish I knew the website, but I found some really good statistics on gaming, and it had some other some stuff like the average gamer is like 34 years old. The average nailed it on the money there, but it said like the average or the most used like console system was this or that or like
you know what's worse platform. Than statistics is barely remembered statistics.
I know, right? This is gold right here.
But anyway. Shit, I vaguely remember. I didn't mean to shit all over your point.
But basically, yeah, it was saying that a lot more people play consoles than play PC games, which I believe.
I find that surprising.
I think it has a lot to what Bobby said last week, where when a PC gamer likes a game, he's there for like 2 years. He'll fuck around with a little other games. So the money isn't there, but the passion is. And so that's why we're maybe small but proud or something. We're loud. And then you got to think that at its root, a PS4 is a PC. Xbox One is a PC. And, you know, you can recreate their power for less money a lot of the time. You know? And it's tricky because the PC doesn't have specific things just for the PC, for a specific unit, where they can spread their wings and be generally just for that video card, just for that motherboard, just for that processor. We'd get way better stuff if it was that way. But with the PS4 and the Xbox One, that you know exactly what you're getting into, what to program for. And so we kind of fall by the wayside sometimes. So
question: Steam machine, Steam boxes, are they?
Who knows?
Are they considered consoles or PCs? Or are we cheering for them, or are we rooting against them? I mean, what's the deal?
I say it's on the PC. Like, if I'm going to say root for them or not root for them, I root for them. But I don't think they're gonna.
I think I kind of understand what Gabe Newell and Steam are trying to do with this. They're trying to put it out there, and they want options. They aren't trying to like have this be a huge market success. They just want something out there, an alternative. They want an alternative out there for gamers. And when you think about it, like when this thing comes out, it's going to have 250 titles, I think they said. And a big thing for me with this was like, well, you can't play this game and you can't play that game. But then when they said 250 titles, how many titles does the PS4 have right now?
Yeah.
Under 50? Under 30?
No, it's under 100 for sure, probably.
Yeah, it's not a lot. Same thing with like the new Xbox. So, you know, it's not as bad as I thought. I don't know who's going to buy these, but... you know, it's nice to have that option out there and to know that you're not tied down to either one or the other consoles.
You know what? Let me tell you real quick. why you shouldn't listen to me as far as future projections. One of my ex-girlfriends got into the beta of TiVo. And I said, why would you want to record TV? Everybody has VCRs. It's not going to work. And she's like, no, you can program it exactly, and then you can fast forward through the commercials. I'm like, that sounds ridiculous.
That sounds stupid.
And now it's taking over the world, and it was a victim of its own success.
But in your... To defend you, which I hate to do, but I will this time.
Hey!
To defend you, I mean... We call it TiVoing things still sometimes, but...
No, for sure.
TiVo is basically not around anymore.
No, because, they're gone. Yeah.
So, in one sense, you were right. You shouldn't have backed TiVo.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that whole concept was a winner, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, you never know what's going to be a hit.
I've even told people that, well, I don't watch cable anymore, but I would pick TiVo over color. Or DVR over color. I would.
Wow.
I mean, I'm that much against... not watching what you want to watch. Guys, eventually, either hackers are going to win or the producers are going to win, but somewhere in between, everything's going to have to be free, and somehow they're going to have to give back. I mean, that's a way deeper topic.
Sounds like communist talk to me.
Uh-oh.
I don't know. Go right over here. Anyway, all right, so...
Should we talk about what's coming up next week?
Yeah, let's mention that before we get out of here. Next week, we're going to be playing, or this coming week, we're going to be playing a lot of Dota 2, trying to grab some new titles and try them out. This should be an interesting experiment, because I've never played Dota 2. I've never played other than a little bit of LoL, I've never played a top-down MOBA. So it's going to be a brand new experience.
LPG, please. LPG.
I don't know if it's
We need to start it somewhere.
You know, LPG is something else.
Is it taken? No. I'll come up with it, please.
Oh, man.
Leopardy.
No, I can't think of it. But I will.
Lame
next pushing next
game
week.
Is what it stands for.
Okay.
More but like whatever a lame you want to call pushing
it,
game.
Playing it. And yeah, it'll be a really new experience for me. What are your guys' experiences with Dota 2?
I hate top downs. Right. But I did play through the tutorial. So you should listen to me next week because I have so much information.
So I guess I'm the MOBA experienced person because. I started playing Heroes of New Earth. I played League of Legends. I played some Dota 2. I played Dawngate, which is one coming out. I played Strife.
It's still not out, huh?
No, so I played some Strife, which is one from S2 as well. And then Smite, obviously. So I'm the one that have been playing a lot of MOBAs. So I guess I will work you guys through this and see if I can convince you guys to play. But every time I try to get you to play top-down, you hate it.
I hate it.
Yeah, prediction, I don't think it's going to stick.
You know what? I thought the tutorial was very well done, which is whatever. But the art direction's very nice. It's a very pretty game, for sure. So, maybe I'll get into it. Clicking to backpedal, I don't see it ever.
Well, I'm not... You guys are probably going to be better than me at this game, so I expect you guys to already come
all
in.
Games ever, maybe. Maybe puzzles. You're better.
Street
puzzles.
Fighter, I'm better than you.
And we
know this for sure.
I don't know this. It's funny because you and Jason both claim this thing. We should have a tournament. We always talk about it. Jason says that we have to start from the beginning. I don't know.
And we should always mention people on the podcast that our listeners don't know who is. I think that really includes them with our conversation.
True.
Jason is... Jagass.
Yes.
All right. Well,
that's all you
know.
Need to know.
Okay. All right. So look forward to that next week. We'll have our first reactions to that game and our unsubstantiated opinions on it. And yeah, I guess that's about it. You can reach us at dudes@dlgaming.net, DUDES. Check out our website. Check out that music post at dlgaming.net. Check us out on our Steam group if you want to play some Rust this week. DL Gaming. Love to get some Rust in. I think DayZ, maybe. You might have to talk us into that, but definitely some Rust.
Yeah. And eventually, if enough of you guys, if I feel the interest, or if we all feel the interest, like maybe some random Saturday, we can build something really cool in Rust. Like a big metal building. We have the diagrams.
Giant penis.
Why would you say that?
That's what you're supposed to do.
I can't wait to get another mic.
Okay. Cool.
All right. All right, we done here?
Yep.
I think we're done.